During this week, we'll be celebrating the holiday of Shavuos, and Shavuos is the 6th of Sivan, which is the 50th day of the Omer, and we follow what the Torah says. Even though in reality we pasken like Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbi Yossi says that we received the Torah on the 7th of Sivan, but the Gemara explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, on his own accord, decided to add one day. The Gemara brings a Baraisa in Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin Omed Aleph that Shloisha Dvarim also Moshe Midatoi, three things Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own accord, Vehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imoi, and Hashem agreed with him. And the three things are Hoisiv Yom Echad Midatoi, that Moshe Rabbeinu added one extra day on his own accord. In other words, we're eligible to receive the Torah on the 6th of Sivan. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to wait the extra day, and we received the Torah in actuality the 7th of Sivan. The other thing is Piresh Minoisha, he separated from his wife. After Kabbalah Satori, he didn't have any more relations with his wife. Veshiber Esaluchois, and he broke the tablets. When he saw the golden calf, he broke the tablets. And even though in the diaspora, nowadays, the 7th of Sivan, we already know it's not Yontif, because the reason that we keep in the diaspora 2 days Yontif is because in the old times, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, where there was a Sanhedrin, they used to sanctify the month, declare the month new, and fixing the Rosh Chodesh by viewing the moon, by people coming to testify that they saw the new moon, because the cycle of the moon is 29 and a half days, so you could have a month of 30 days and a month of 29. When somebody saw the moon, he ran to Yerushalayim to testify he saw the moon, and then they would declare that day Rosh Chodesh, and by the time the people in the diaspora found out, was past the 15th. So therefore, every Yontif, we decided to keep 2 days, because we were not sure when they made Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael. But after a month goes by, everybody knew when Rosh Chodesh of last month was. And since Shavuos is dependent on Pesach, that's 50 days after Pesach, at that point, everybody in the Galut, everybody in the diaspora, already knew when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, when Pesach was. And if you know when Pesach was, then it's very easy to count 50 days from that day. You'll know exactly when Shavuos is. Then the question is, how come Shavuos we keep 2 days Yontif? The answer is twofold. One answer is that Loi Pluk, the rabbis did not want to differentiate between one holiday and the other holiday, that all the holidays in the diaspora are kept for 2 days, that even though we know exactly when Yontif is, nonetheless, for the rule that we do not want to differentiate between holidays, we keep all holidays, all Sholosh Regalim, 2 days. And even though now we have a permanent calendar and we do not make Rosh Chodesh by looking at the moon anymore, but you never know what will happen in the diaspora. So therefore, if it's going to be concentration camps, what may be that you may not have a calendar handy. So therefore, the rabbis decided to keep in the diaspora 2 days. And the other answer is that since in actuality, we received the Torah on the second day, on the 7th of Sivan, so therefore it's proper to keep the 6th and the 7th of Sivan as Ma Matan Toroseinu. In other words, in the diaspora, we are actually celebrating the actual day that we received the Ten Commandments. In Eretz Yisrael, we celebrate the potential day of receiving the Ten Commandments, but in the diaspora, we actually celebrate the actual day of receiving Ten Commandments. And according to this comes out that the Kedusha of the second day Yontev in the diaspora is greater than any other holiday, because we actually are celebrating the second day, even though we know clearly it's not Yontev. Yet the rabbis wanted you to celebrate the second day, either because of the logic of Loi Plug, not to differentiate, or because that was actually the day of the celebration of receiving the Ten Commandments. The reading of the first day of Shavuos is on Parshas Yisro, chapter 19, where it starts the story of us receiving the Ten Commandments. There is a medrash on Yalkut Shimoni, Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, the Medrash writes like this: Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Israel, Hashem told the Jewish people, Bonai, my children, Hayu Koirin as a Parsha Azois Bechol Shana, read this Parsha every year, Vanimale Aleichem, and I will count for you, Ki'ilu Atem Oimdim Lifnei Har Sinai, like you are now standing in front of Mount Sinai, Umekablim as a Torah, like you're receiving the Torah right now. Shenemar, because it says in Pasuk, Bayoim Hazeh, in this day, which means that each day, every generation, Bow Midbar Sinai, they came to Midbar Sinai, Emosai, when, Bachoydesh HaShlishi, on the third month. Basically, the Medrash is telling you that if you read the Parsha of Matan Torah on Shavuos, Hashem will count it as you would receive it right then. We will focus the rest of our class on a Pasuk, on this Parsha that we read the first day of Shavuos, and by understanding the Pasuk, we'll come to understand in a different level, really, what we are celebrating on Shavuos. The Pasuk that I'm going to focus on is on Pasuk 17, chapter 19, Pasuk 17. There the Pasuk says, Vayoytze Moshe sa'om likras Elohim. Moshe brought the people from the camp towards Hashem. Vayisyatzvu, and they stood betachtis ha'or, on the bottom of the mountain. The word betachtis ha'or is analyzed in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peiches Omed Aleph, that normally translated Tachtis Har means in the bottom of the mountain, which means they stood at the foot of the mountain, but literal, the translation of Tachtis Har means underneath the mountain. Therefore, Omar Abavdima Bar Choma Bar Chosa, that Rabadima Bar Choma Bar Chosa said, Melamed, from here you learn, Shekofa Kudosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Es Har Kegiges, that Hashem uprooted the mountain and put the mountain on top of the Jewish people like a vat, that he held the mountain, detached mountain, on top of the Jewish people as a threat. And he said to them, Im ata mekablim ha-Torah, if you receive the Torah, mutav, very good. Veim lav, if you don't receive the Torah, if you don't accept the Torah, shom tehei kevurascham, there is going to be your burial ground. In other words, Hashem forced us to receive the Torah. The Hashem told us that if you receive the Torah, very good. If not, then there is going to be your burial ground. Meaning, I'm going to let go of this mountain on top of you, and you will all die. Omar Ravacha Bar Yaakov. Ravacha Bar Yaakov says, Mikan, from here, since we are forced to receive the Torah, Moido Rabbe Lo Raisa. It's a strong grounds for notification of coercion regarding acceptance of the Torah. In other words, the simple interpretation is that according to this, every time that we do a sin, we could claim that we were coerced in receiving the Torah. We never wanted to receive the Torah. If Hashem had not put a mountain over our head, we would have not received the Torah. So therefore, we were coerced in receiving the Torah. So therefore, we had an excuse. Omar Rava, Rava says, Afa Piken, even though we had an excuse that we do not have to keep the Torah because we were coerced, Hoder Kablu B'mei Achashverosh. Nonetheless, the time of Achashverosh, where the miracle of Haman, where Hashem saved us from the decrees of Haman, the days of Mordechai and Esther, the miracle of Purim, there we received it again. The Chsiv is written, Kimu V'Kiblu Ayudim, that the Jewish people established and accepted. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean, established and accepted? They already established what they had accepted previously. That previously, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we accepted the Torah, and then we had an excuse, was coerced. Now we established it without coercion that we really want to. We know how much Hashem loves us, and that gave us the encouragement to accept the Torah anew. And from then on, we have no more excuses for our sins. Up to the time of Haman, we had an excuse for our sins that we were coerced. But now, the time of Haman, the time of Mordechai and Esther, we established what was accepted before under coercion. So therefore, we have no more excuses. All the Mefarshim ask a question, why was it necessary for Hashem to coerce us and to force us into receiving the Torah by putting a mountain over our head? We already had previously said the famous words, Na'ase v'nishma, that we will do and we will hear. So if you already previously accepted the Torah, why was it necessary for us to be forced and put a mountain over our head? In truth, let being said that the words Na'ase v'nishma is actually written later on Parshas Mishpatim. And according to Ramban, it was actually said after we received the Torah, that we received the Ten Commandments from Hashem, then we received Parshas Mishpatim, and after we heard Parshas Mishpatim, that's when we said the words Na'ase v'nishma. But according to Rashi, that this happened the 4th of Sivan, then Na'ase v'nishma was said before the Ten Commandments were given, before the Aseres Hadibros were given. Then the question is, why was it required for Hashem to coerce us into receiving the Torah if you already willingly accepted the Torah? Tosfos answers that Hashem wanted to make sure that we do not change our mind. That could be that once we saw the great fire that came down to the mountain, Hashem feared that because of the awesomeness of the sight of the great fire and also because of our deaths, every time we looked at it, that we may change our mind and decide not to receive the Torah because maybe the awesomeness and the responsibility is going to be too great. Therefore, Hashem forced us and said that you have no choice. Either you receive the Torah or here is where you are going to die. The Rashba asks a question. According to the Gemara says that since we were coerced, we always have an excuse every time we transgress the Torah to say that we were coerced. How come we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael during the destruction of the first temple if we were coerced? True that we received again and we accepted the Torah anew the time of Ahasuerus. The Ahasuerus was after the destruction of the temple, almost at the end of the 70 years of exile. If it's correct that we were coerced and we really have an excuse, how come Hashem Yisborach kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael for our sins? We had an excuse that Hashem forced us to receive the Torah. We would not receive the Torah willingly. The Rashba answers that losing Eretz Yisrael is not a punishment for not keeping the Torah, is merely not getting a reward. For example, a business has salesmen, and in order for the salesman to perform his job, the business gives him a company car in order to drive to the clients. But if the salesman stops selling, or for some reason he decides he doesn't want to sell, then you take away his company car because he doesn't need the company car anymore. The Rashba explains that the only reason Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael is for us to be able to make Torah in Eretz Yisrael. The land will give us everything we need in order for us to be able to accomplish and to make the mitzvahs of the Torah. But if we do not make mitzvahs on the Torah, then we do not deserve that gift. We do not deserve that bonus, that company car. The same thing is Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem only gave us this role to keep Torah. If we don't keep Torah, then we do not need Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it was not considered to be a punishment, the fact that we left Eretz Yisrael. It's just that we just didn't deserve to get the reward, to get the company car, Hashem's car, kavyochol. True that the salesman, or in comparison, the Jewish people, aren't going to be happy to lose the benefits or to lose the extra perk that they had by Eretz Yisrael, or, for example, the company car. But nonetheless, the removal of that is not necessarily a punishment because you just don't do sales anymore, you don't do mitzvahs anymore, you don't deserve to have the benefit of having Eretz Yisrael with you. Medrash Tanhuma on Noach Siman Gimel asks Tosfos question, how come was it necessary to force the Jewish people to accept the Torah if they already said Na'ase v'nishma? And he explains that when the Jewish people said Nase v'Nishma, when they accepted only in regard to the written law. The written law is limited. We could see exactly what it is. On that, they said Nase v'Nishma. But the oral law, which is limitless, which is so broad and so long, and it requires extreme effort and commitment to keep it, that they did not want to accept by themselves. And on that, Hashem was required to force them to do. And according to this Medrash Tanhuma, we have to explain when the Gemara says that in the future we have an excuse for not keeping the Torah because we could say we were coerced, is only referring to the oral law. That the oral law, we could claim that we were coerced. But the written law, since the written law we accepted willingly by saying Nase v'Nishma, we don't have an excuse not to keep it. And then the Rashba's question that why we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, then we could easily answer that we transgress on the written law. That Hashem gave us the excuse of coercion only on the oral law. Because the oral law was the one that we were coerced. But the written law, since the written law we accepted willingly and we transgress, so therefore Hashem was in his right to punish us and kick us out of Eretz Yisrael when we sinned. The Maharal on Tiferes Yisrael, chapter 32, asks a question on Tosfos. Tosfos said that the reason Hashem forced us, even though we said already Nase v'Nishma, is because maybe if you would have seen the huge fire, we would have changed our mind. We have been so scared of the Torah that we would have changed our mind. Therefore, Hashem chose to force us to receive it and for us not to be able to change our mind. So the Maharal asks a question, why can't Hashem wait to see what is going to happen once we see the awesome light? Once we see the awesome fire and we change our mind, then Hashem could coerce us and force us to receive the Torah. Why did Hashem decide to force us to receive the Torah even before we changed our mind? In truth, this question is not such a huge question because we could say that's Chasdei Hashem, that's kindness of Hashem. Hashem wanted to give us a reward for us saying Nase v'Nishma, even though Hashem knew that eventually we are going to change our mind and He wanted to make sure that we don't change our mind. Therefore, He preempted us by putting a mountain over our head and forced us to accept the Torah. Had Hashem waited till we change our mind, then coerce us, then we will lose completely reward for the words Nase v'Nishma. But the fact that Hashem coerced us first, then we still kind of receive certain rewards for saying Nase v'Nishma, even though by doing the golden calf, we actually negated the Nase v'Nishma, but we have never officially retracted the Nase v'Nishma. We sinned and we fell for the Yetzer Hara, but we never officially retracted. Had we seen the huge light, the huge fire, maybe you would have officially retracted the Nase v'Nishma. So Hashem wanted to preempt us and decided to force us to keep the Torah. So we have no choice and we have to maintain the Nase v'Nishma. And thereby receive the merit of saying Nase v'Nishma or certain schusim we have for accepting it. But the Maharal explains in a different way. He explains that had the Torah just write down the fact that we said Nase v'Nishma, people could have made a mistake and people could have mistakenly thought that the world could exist without Torah. That yes, the Jewish people accepted Torah voluntarily, but had they not accepted Torah voluntarily, the world was still going to go on. Therefore, Hashem took the mountain and put it in our head to teach us that acceptance of the Torah is not voluntary. It is actually the reason for the existence of the world. Had the Jewish people not accepted the Torah, had they not said Nase v'Nishma, then the world would have reverted to nothingness. In other words, had the Torah recorded only that the Jewish people accepted the Torah, and it was optional, even though it was praiseworthy, but nonetheless it was a choice, people would have thought that such an indispensable thing as Torah is not so important for the world and it's left to chance. In order for Hashem to take away that notion, Hashem had to force us, He had to demonstrate that this decision of free will, even though it was optional, but nonetheless it was a unchanging necessity and any failure to make that option would have caused the world to be destroyed and to become extinct. And according to this, the order in the Gemara, that the Gemara brings down what Rish Lakish says right afterwards, fits very well. The Gemara brings down, Rish Lakish asks a question, why is it written Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Hashishi? Why is it written Vayerev Vayivoker, there was night, there was day, 6 day? What does it mean Hashishi, the 6 day? On the 5th day, says Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Hamishi. It doesn't say Hachamishi, the 5th day, like it says on the 6th day. Why on the 6th day? It says Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Hashishi, the 6th day. What kind of 6 day are they referring? What are they alluding to by saying the 6 day? So Rish Lakish says Hashem made a condition with the world that if the Jewish people accept the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, then the world will continue. If the Jewish people do not accept the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, then the world will revert to nothingness. Why is it important to bring the Gemara right after this idea? The Maharal explains that this is exactly the idea of Hashem forcing us. Hashem was relating to us that there is no choice, that if you accept the Torah, fine. If you do not accept the Torah, then there is nothingness. Even though you already said Nasa V'Nishma, but I have to let the world know that Torah is so important that without Torah, the world could not exist. And therefore, I put the mountain over your head to prove that point, that even though you already agreed to accept it, but nonetheless, it is a prerequisite for the existence of the world, and therefore by me putting the mountain over your head, I'm proving that point and showing to everybody how important Torah really is. The other answer of the Maharal is the message is not for the world, it's actually for the Jewish people. That the Jewish people should not think that they accept the Torah voluntarily, therefore if they want, they could keep it. And whenever they don't want to keep it, they could leave it go. To dispel that notion, Hashem decided to force us to receive the Torah. And by Hashem forcing us, Hashem was teaching us that it is not a choice to you anymore to keep Torah or not to keep Torah. It is obligatory on you. And if you do not do it, you will perish. For example, we volunteer a lot of times to do certain things. A person volunteers to go to the hospital and he goes to the hospital twice a week. But if he decides to stop volunteering, okay, stop volunteering. There's nothing wrong with that. But if a person is obligated to go to the hospital, then he cannot decide he doesn't want to do it anymore. It is not his option anymore either to do it or not. He's required to do it because it's obligatory on him to go. So had the Jewish people said, Nasa V'Nishma, Hashem gave us the Torah, we would have said, Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we will hear, then we would have thought it's voluntary. We could decide to keep it whenever we want, and whenever we don't want to volunteer, we don't want to go to the hospital, we don't have to keep it. But Hashem forced us, and Hashem told us, no, it's not voluntary. You are required to keep it. True, you volunteered in the beginning, but now you are required to keep it, because if you do not keep it, I will kill you. There will be your burial ground. Now we know that it's not voluntary. It is not optional anymore for you to keep the Torah or not to keep the Torah. You're required to keep the Torah, because if you do not keep the Torah, Hashem will punish you and Hashem will kill you. So to give that message, Hashem had to put the mountain over our heads to make sure that we understand that this is not voluntary anymore. True, originally it was voluntary, but now it's not voluntary anymore. It's obligatory. You have no options. You have to receive it and you have to keep it. And the third answer the Maharal brings, it's a beautiful answer. The Maharal quotes a Medrash. The Medrash is on the Pasuk in Dvarim, Parshas Ki Tsetzeh, chapter 22, Pasuk number 29. There the Torah is talking about a case where a man finds an unmarried woman and he rapes her. So the Torah describes the punishment. The Torah tells that he's required to give 50 shekelim as penalty. He's also required to marry this woman. And he's also not allowed to ever divorce this woman. And logically, we explain that normally if a person knows that he has to marry the person he raped, that this will be the consequence of his action, that itself would serve as a deterrent. The woman always has the option either she wants to marry him or not. The Torah tells you that since he forced this relationship over the woman, then he loses all options and is required to maintain the relationship as long as the woman wants. In other words, almost midah keneged midah, like the way he dosses somebody else would do to him, he has gave no option to this woman to have the relationship with her because he raped her. So he gets to have no option regarding relationship, it's all dependent on her. So the Medrash there brings down that when Hashem's Baruch came to give us the Torah, Hashem may put the mountain and force us to receive the Torah. And since Hashem forced us to receive the Torah, then we became kaviyachol, the raped of Hashem. And when somebody is raped, then it's his option to maintain the marriage. And therefore Hashem is the one that forced us to do something. So Hashem has no option. Hashem has to maintain us now till we decide not to do it. Till the end of days, Hashem has to maintain us. The Maharal explains, this is what Hashem wanted to do when Hashem put the mountain over our head for us to accept the Torah, even though we technically already accepted it, is kaviyachol, like Hashem wanted to be forced into a relationship, even though we'll do something bad afterwards. That since Hashem forced us into this marriage, and basically the mountain is also the way, like a chuppah, like we are going into marriage, Hashem forced us in this relationship and gave us no choice. And since we have no choice, it is considered like he raped us. And once it's considered like he raped us, then he has no choice. And he cannot let us go because he follows the Torah. Because it's written, Chukav HaMishpatav LeYisrael, that Hashem follows his chukim and the laws. So Hashem now has no option and he's required to maintain us regardless how we behave. From this Midrash we could learn a lesson that since the Midrash compares the relationship the Torah has between us and Hashem to the relationship of a rape between a man and a woman, then we see that the way to get intimate to Hashem is by learning Torah. That learning Torah is tantamount to the intimacy that a man has with a woman. So if you want to connect with Hashem, the only way to really connect to Hashem kaviyachol is by learning Torah. The Kedushas Levi explains that the reason Hashem had to force us to receive the Torah, even though we said Naaseh V'Nishma, because we could have argued that at the point when we said Naaseh V'Nishma, was at the point that we were clean, we were so lofty, our level was so great that we could understand the sweetness of the Torah, and that really, and that is the level that we accepted the Torah and we said Naaseh V'Nishma, because it was very logical and very understandable for us. But what happens when our machshavas get thicker, our thoughts get corrupted, and when we can't understand the sweetness of the Torah, nonetheless Hashem wanted us that we should even at that point also accept the yoke of Hashem and the Torah of Hashem and the mitzvahs of Hashem. Sefer Ahavas Yisrael complements that and says, now we understand why the Gemara says that we accepted again in the days of Achashverosh, that when we were in lower level, then we really didn't accept the Torah. We complained the Torah was forced to us. But yet in the day of Achashverosh, when the Jewish people were in such a low level and we still accepted the Torah, so now we have no more excuses. The Gemara specifically says that they accepted in the days of Purim because that is when we were in such a low level and we still decided to accept the Torah. The Chiddush Orim gives a little bit different interpretation, the same idea almost. He explains that Hashem wanted you to know that even when you're making the Torah without will, without desire, you are forced to do. Like we force kids sometimes to do things which they show they don't have desire. Nonetheless, it is considered just as much as Torah mitzvah, because that's why the Torah was specifically given by us being coerced, to tell you that even though you are coerced, you are fulfilling the mitzvah. That even though you are forced to do the Torah, or you are forced to do mitzvahs, and you are learning Torah without will, you're doing it for whatever reason you're doing it, but nonetheless you're doing it, still Hashem counts it as you did it, because that is the original way that we receive the Torah. Original way we receive the Torah only through coercion. We could explain, according to this Chiddush Orim, really, this is really what the Rambam means when the Rambam in Hilchas Gerish in Perik Beis, Halacha Chof, brings down there. The law is, if a man marries a woman and they want to get divorced, the husband has to give willingly the divorce to the woman. Let's say the husband does not want to give the divorce to the woman. The woman takes him to court, and then the court decides if the husband has to give the divorce or he doesn't have to give the divorce. Once the bezin decides he has to give the divorce, and let's say the husband does not want to give the divorce, the bezin could go and hit him and forcibly extract the divorce. In other words, they could beat him up until he says, Roitzani, until he says, I am willing. And then we could give the divorce to the wife. It's not considered that he was coerced to give a divorce. He actually was done by his will. And the Rambam there is trying to explain, how is it possible once Bezin is beating him up and he's saying, I don't want, and finally he gives in, he says, I want, how is that considered his will? Isn't that really not his will? And the Rambam explains that somebody whose Yetzer Hara is too strong, that he wants to go against a mitzvah or do something bad, and he's being hit until he does the mitzvah or he's distanced from the sin, this is not considered force. This is because in the inside, in the deep inside, a Jewish person wants to do what Hashem wants. And what happens? The Satan tries to entice him not to do it. So therefore, when we go, the Bezin goes and the Bezin beats him up, then the Bezin is taking out the Satan of him and he's really doing what he really, Hashem wants to do. That's the really his inner intent of every Jew, is to do what Hashem wants. So therefore, a get that is forced by a Bezin of Jews, then is considered with the will, because that is really the will of the person. The inner will of a person is to do the will of Hashem, therefore the get is good. Therefore, the divorce is good. And that was the Rambam explains there. So according to this Chiddush Orim, that Chiddush Orim explains that that's the reason Hashem gave us the Torah forcibly, is maybe also to teach this idea that even though a Jew is going to be forced to make a mitzvah, nonetheless, the mitzvah is counted like he does it on his free will, and it's going to be kosher. The Shemishmul explains that Hashem, by forcing us, he wanted to show, or he wanted to give us a reward for accepting the Torah even at a lower level. He explains like that, that we know that when we accepted the Torah, we were in a very lofty level, and our love for Hashem was burning. When we saw the great awesomeness, vision of Hashem, that was no big deal for us to accept the Torah. But what is the proof that we are even ready to accept the Torah at a lower level, when we don't have such a expressions of love of Hashem, that we still are willing to accept the Torah even when situations aren't as good? So therefore, Hashem decided to put the mountain on top of us. And even though Hashem loves us, and putting the mountain over us was obviously for our good, but anytime you are forced to do something, then automatically the love becomes diminished, because that is the nature of people. Every time somebody forces somebody else to do something, even though it's for his own good, but the fact that he's forced to do it, automatically his hands recoils from that, like would be touching fire. And if in that level they'll still accept the Torah, that will show that they'll accept the Torah forever, no matter what conditions they are and what situations they are. So in other words, Hashem specifically forced us and told us, you have to receive the Torah, because like that will diminish, will make us fall from the lofty level that we were. We have a natural tendency to reject when somebody tells us to do something, regardless it's for your own good. If you tell somebody to do something, no matter what you tell him, automatically his first thing on his head is not to do it. So therefore Hashem, by forcing us, was able to diminish the level of love that we had and the level of loftiness we had at that point. and still we are willing to accept the Torah, so therefore that is considered a acceptance forever without any preconditions. That interpretation is that Hashem forced us to receive the Torah because Hashem wanted to give us reward for keeping the Torah, which means, since the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Alef Amud Alef brings down that Gadol Hametzuve Ve'Oise Yoiser Mimi She'ena Metzuve Ve'Oise, somebody who is commanded to do something and he does it and he fulfills obligation has a much greater reward than somebody who is not commanded and does it. In other words, in our limited logic, we believe that somebody who volunteers to do something, then he is the one that gets a greater reward. Look, what a nice guy he is. He volunteered to do it. He's not required to do it, and he volunteered to do it. So in our narrow mind, we believe that this is a greater level. But the Gemara tells you that somebody who is commanded, somebody who has a job to do, and he does his job, is much greater than somebody who volunteers and does it. Mefarshim explain the reason is that when you're not obligated, you don't have a Yetzer Hara for it. But once you are obligated to do something and you do it, then the Yetzer Hara kicks in and the Yetzer Hara tries to block what you do. The Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination, has got a mission that whenever you have to do something, whenever you're obligated to do something, he will try to block it. Because that is the reason that Hashem created the Yetzer Hara, is to test us if you're going to follow the words of Hashem. But if you are not obligated to do it, then he has no reason to block you. He doesn't interfere so much when you volunteer to do, because he really doesn't know what you are going to do. But when you are obligated to do something, then he knows you have to do it, and he already runs interference before you even do it. So he kind of stays on your way because he has a directive to block you from doing. So therefore, if you're able to conquer your Sahara when you're obligated to do, then you are in a greater level than you conquer the Yitzhahara when you're not obligated to do. I always use this perfect example. When you have teenage kids and the room is a mess and they are going to clean the room and all of a sudden you tell them, please clean your room, they'll say, no, now you told me to clean my room, I'm not cleaning anymore. Even though 5 minutes ago they were going to clean the room, they were volunteering to clean the room, once you tell them to clean the room, somehow the Yetzer kicks in and they decide they're not going to clean the room anymore because you told me to do. Had you not told me, I would have cleaned it. But now that you told me, I'm not going to clean it. And the same thing applies to us, that once we are commanded to do, then the Yetzer Hara fights us. That once we are commanded to do, then the Yetzer Hara goes on the way and he tries to block us. But if we're not commanded to do, then he would allow you to do it. So therefore, had we just said Naseh V'Nishma, we would have gotten a reward as we would have volunteered, because Hashem told us to do it. And we said, yeah, we accepted willingly, no problem. So therefore, Hashem forced us, put a mountain over our heads. Now we are obligated to do. Once we are obligated to do, we get to get a greater reward, because it's already standing in your way. Once it's already standing in your way, you get a greater reward. That's the reason Hashem put the mountain over our heads. Sefer Oznaim LaTorah explains that the reason that Hashem had to force us, even though we already said Naseh V'Nishma, is because there's a big difference between somebody who says something until he ends up to doing something. And for that, Hashem was required to scare us to make sure that we're not going to sin and that we're going to accept Hashem willingly. Hashem wanted to make sure that when we said we'll do, we will do. When we said we'll hear, we will hear. Because just saying doesn't prove that you're going to do. By Hashem scaring you and you still accept it, then there's a bigger chance that you are going to do it. According to everything we just said, we see how important it is, Limud HaTorah, how important it is for us to receive the Torah. And we also see that Hashem knew that certain times we are not going to learn, and certain times it's going to be hard for us to learn, and we are going to fall from our level. But nonetheless, Hashem said, if you still learn, even though you are not in the mood for it, we'll still count it for you. If you do the mitzvahs, even though you are forced, we'll still count it as you did the mitzvah. Also, Hashem wanted us to know that the whole world depends on us learning the Torah. That if we stop keeping the Torah, then Hashem will destroy the world. And also, Hashem wanted to let us know also that we only get Eretz Yisrael, we'll only maintain Eretz Yisrael if we actually learn the Torah. If we do not learn the Torah, then we chance to lose our beloved land of Israel. Also, we see from here that we have to try and strive and establish shiurim and make classes to learn Torah, because the way to define the relationship with Hashem is really if Kabbalah Satorah, it is really if receiving the Torah and really by doing the Nasa v'Nishma, which is not only Nasa, not only do, but also the Nishma, also hear and also learn Torah and know how to do the mitzvahs, because it is very hard to do the mitzvahs if you really don't know how to do them. And if we do all the mitzvahs, we maybe will merit to have Mashiach come. Like the Mefarshim brings down that Shavuos is the time of the Geula, the same way we received the Shechina the first time, we'll merit to receive the Shechina again. We'll have again Abis HaMikdash rebuilt. Bimhera b'yameinu, Amen.